So we've got three readings this morning. So those who like to read along in the Bibles, the references are Luke 24, 45 to 53, which is on page 1062. So if you put one finger in that page. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21, that's page 1173. Put another finger in that page. And then Romans 8, 34, which is page 1135. So if you're running out of fingers, so page 1062, 1173, 1135. I'm just going to pray before I read. Father, your word is living and active, and faith comes by hearing. So I pray you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I read, and us with your Holy Spirit as we hear. The glory of Jesus. Amen. Luke 24, 45 to 53. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. I'm just going to pray for David. Father, thank you so much for David. Thank you for the gifts and life experiences and all that you've given him to put him in the positions he's in now. Thank you for the preparation he has done this week. And I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit now as he speaks, and you fill us with your Holy Spirit as we hear, and you'd send us out changed by your word for the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nick, and welcome, everyone. Sometimes on the weekends or on Sunday mornings, even people love to go to car boot sales. And, you know, they're looking for something that might be helpful or beautiful or useful, maybe a bargain. I wonder if they knew that you could go to a place, go to a person, and discover something that would help you in the uncertain times we live in, when, you know, news in Russia of kind of all kinds of, you know, things going on, and, or, you know, sort of attempted mutiny and, you know, just instability in our nations, or the, you know, the rising cost of, you know, interest rates and inflation being kind of stuck. If there was something that, or someone that you could go to who could actually give you security in our uncertainties. If there was someone you could go to who could give you comfort in your sufferings, someone you could go to who could give you power in your weakness, someone who could bring hope in our challenges, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't you kind of be saying to people around you, hey, I've found something, I've found someone, and look what they're giving. And if they did all that, out of the huge generosity and of what they'd done, that would be a reason to celebrate, wouldn't it? And that is the very thing we're looking at today. We're looking at the ascension of Jesus, the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, and that is a reason to celebrate like no other, because today and tomorrow, whatever the future holds, that is something that will not be taken away. You know, it gives people, Christians all over the world, great encouragement, comfort, security, and power down through history, even in places of great persecution. Because you see, the ascension of Jesus proclaims his triumph. It proclaims the victory that he has won. And we've been going through the Apostles' Creed in this this series, and we've been looking at some wonderful foundational truths of the Christian faith. I wonder if you can feel able to say along with me where we've got kind of so far. So why don't you say this with me if you feel able. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day, he rose again. That's where we got up to a couple of weeks ago. Where Tim was talking as he looked at that last couple of lines about the victory Jesus has won over sin and evil and death. And today, as we look at the next two lines, I wonder if you can read these with me. He, Jesus, ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. This ascension proclaims and kind of signifies the victory over evil, sin, and death that he has won. It's kind of picture of him being seated with this completed work. In fact, in Hebrews 12:2, we read this wonderful thing. I love this. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's like he kind of passed through all that, and then he sat down. Work done, completed, victory achieved. That is why people all over the world sing of the victory of Jesus. In fact, it's that song we learn at Dalesdown. I love it. It's full of joy because it proclaims the victory of Jesus. I love that little line. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. You know, it's clearly good news for Jesus, isn't it? He's kind of raised up to this victorious place. But the ascension of Jesus meant that he kind of left his disciples here. And I bet they were a bit kind of wondering, is this really going to be good news for us? So I want to ask, how is Jesus leaving earth to ascend into heaven? How is that good news for the disciples and for you and I? Well, that's what we're going to be exploring this morning. And what we're going to discover is that this ascension, this kind of great victory, is so vast and profound that it directly impacts you and me. Though it's his victory, not ours, it has implications. We're like beneficiaries of it. And so the song goes on that we've just been singing. It says, we were beggars. Now, how does it go? If you were there, we get out. Now we're royalty. What? How is that possible? You know, we were prisoners. Now we're running free. That is because Jesus' death, resurrection, and then ascension, which seals all those things with him sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's sometimes called his exaltation or glorification. These things have profound impact for you and I. The theologian Bruce Milne says this: the Christian has died with Christ, has been resurrected with Christ, and has been ascended with Christ. So what happens to Jesus happens to us as we believe and are identified with him. And so in Ephesians 2:6, this is one of the most staggering verses about the ascension. It's kind of one of those wow moments as you're reading through Ephesians. It says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Isn't that amazing? And so as we proclaim the creed and the ascension of Jesus, we're proclaiming that we believe something not just about Jesus, but something that impacts you and I. And there's kind of mystery here. There's a tension which we're going to explore as we go through this message. There's a kind of, we have something of that now that we know, and it's real, it's true. We're seated with him in heavenly places, but there's also a sense that we're very much here on earth still. So how does that all work, David? How do we live in that tension? Well, part of it is that we're in this time to be those that believe, share, and celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ, because it is good news for you and I. The ascension of Jesus, you see, has meant that he has unique power to help us. Jesus has unique power to help you. Do you ever feel like you need help? I do. Today, I need help, God. Yesterday, I need help, God. The day before, I needed help, God. Last weekend, I need your help, God. God, would you give me the power I need? And what we see in all the ascension accounts, like what we just read in Luke's gospel, is that the ascension is intricately linked with this promise of power. In fact, in Luke 24, we read, he said this, Jesus said, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Jesus promised his disciples they'll be clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll probably know this one. If you've been coming along to church for a while, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." This is just before Jesus ascends. He says this to his disciples. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. There is a link between the ascension of Jesus and the giving of power to his people. And as I was thinking about this theme and exploring it through this week, I found myself discovering this kind of link most kind of clearly and strongly in a surprising place. I found myself thinking, well, where is the ascension in John's gospel? Because we just read it in Luke, and you can see it in some other bits of the gospels. But John's gospel, I was thinking about the end of it and thinking, it doesn't end with the ascension. And I found myself kind of digging around in John. And what I discovered is that there is more in John's gospel about the ascension than any of the other gospels. You know, you can find in John 7 and John 14 and John 15 and John 16 and John 17 and John 20 references to the ascension of Jesus, to him going back to the Father. In fact, in some of those places, there's multiple verses, and I'm just going to pick out a couple of them to help us see this connection between the ascension and the kind of pouring out, the giving of God's Spirit. So the first one is John 7:39. I'm going to need your help to read it. It's up here on the screen. So why don't we read along together? "By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Puzzling. What about this one later in John chapter 16? We read in John chapter 16, verse 7. Have we got that one as well? Nope. Okay. Well, John chapter 16, verse 7 says this, "But I tell you the truth, if it is good for you that I'm going away," Jesus says, "for if I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Wow. Jesus says, look, if I don't go, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, won't come to you. But if I go, he'll come. So what is all that about? And, you know, why couldn't the Spirit be poured out before Jesus' ascension? I don't know. What do you think? Is there some kind of thing that couldn't have the Spirit and Jesus operating on earth at the same time? No, because actually you read in the Gospels, clearly the Spirit was at work. So what is this all about? What is the connection between the ascension and the pouring out of God's Spirit, this help of the power we need to live the life that Jesus calls us to live. Well, Bruce Milne really helpfully adds this in his theology book called Know the Truth. He says this, this brings us to the key understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, the profound connection between the ministry of the Spirit and the glorification of Jesus, the dispensation of the Spirit, the kind of pouring out of the Spirit in the church and in the world depends utterly, what's the last little line here, on the ascension was Jesus being placed at the right hand of the Father in this position of power and authority. And as that kind of moment happened, if you like, it was the coronation, the crowning moment, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. The kind of the victory seat was placed on him. It's like as he ascends as this conquering king, he's kind of like scattering out gifts that are like a kind of a wonderful, generous kind of victor. And in fact, in Ephesians 4, you kind of have this picture of him kind of leading captives in his train and scattering gifts to people. And this is this amazing picture of Jesus, our conquering king, who's defeated his enemies and who's kind of sits down at the throne of God. I love in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter gets up to preach, he says this. He says, this Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For God did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. It is this ascension of Jesus, which, as it were, enables the outpouring of God's Spirit to you and I. And brothers and sisters, the outpouring of God's Spirit is a more amazing thing in the life of our world than we often realize. In our second reading, we had the Apostle Paul talk of the incomparably great power for us who believe. One of my prayers as I've been preparing this is that we as a church would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And I wanted to ask this morning, are you experiencing that power? Are you experiencing the incomparably great power that raised Jesus from the dead? And as Paul writes in Ephesians 1, and maybe if you're not, or if you think I'd like more of that, can I ask you a kind of second question? Are you doing what the power is required for? What it's given for? Because back in that first passage that we looked at in Luke chapter 24 and in Acts 1, when Jesus says you'll be clothed with power from on high, he says so that you can be my witnesses, so that the good news can go into all the world. And I find one of the most staggering things in my kind of Christian life is that it turns into this kind of exciting adventure when I join Jesus in his mission work. So this weekend, I was just praying for some situations that I was going into. I went into a kind of family gathering thing that had a bunch of other people there, but a lot of them weren't Christians. But I was sat on a table, and I was just praying, may there be opportunities to speak to someone. And there wasn't really any obvious opportunities to share the good news with her, because there were like three vicars on my table. And so then I thought, well, you know, those are the people I'm with. We'll just talk about Jesus with them. So we did that, really encouraging time. But in the kind of break between the meals, it was a kind of a bit of a special family gathering. This guy got up, and he started leading the mostly non-Christians in the kind of gathering in this song. And he said, I'm going to teach you a bit of a gospel song. And he talked about it goes like this, he said. He said, mind's gone blank. There'll be joy, joy, joy in my Father's house. Joy, joy, joy in my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There'll be joy, 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 joy. And he got everyone singing it. And I was thinking, this guy is doing what I was wanting to do, but he didn't seem to be kind of coming from any background. So I was praying, God, would you give me an opportunity just to maybe have a conversation with him afterwards? Why was he doing this? And amazingly, we had this opportunity just to talk. And I said that this is what I've been speaking on last week at Dalesdown. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, this is wonderful. And then I go to this next thing. The next day, a friend of ours had a party in the afternoon. And I'm there and I'm chatting to someone. I'm praying, God, would you just give me sort of opportunities? And I'm talking to this person. She's really telling me about her life. And then she asked me, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor, kind of, you know, a minister in a church. You might know at Holland Road Baptist Church. She said, I know who you are. You spoke to my husband some time back in Palmyra Square, and he was so impacted by what you said that he told me. And I come past Holland Road a lot, and I often think of it. And I would love sometime to come along to your church. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it because it was such a joy in that moment, but it made me realize that when I go out often on a Monday with a few others and we go out to Palmyra Square, I often don't feel like I have the strength to do it. Don't know what to say. Don't know how God will help me. And don't often see what happens because of that. But there in that moment, God was reminding me there's power as we step out with him. So brothers and sisters, if you want to know and experience more of the incomparable power, step out into what God has for you. In fact, the ascension, the kind of outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, the Great Commission, and even persecution, as we will see if you go on through Acts, these things are more linked and together, and the security, comfort, joy, and peace that come from those things than we often realize. In fact, one of the things that I found so helpful in the time in Dalesdown, as you drove in, you went through a field which had all these solar panels like this. And the solar panels were a reminder that to me that we need to receive power, we need to be looking at the sun. You see, they're tilted to look at the sun, S-U-N. But for us to receive power, we need to look up to the sun, S-O-N, the resurrected conquering king, so that his power can come into our lives. Because we're not yet in the place where we are able to say, well, there's no more struggle, no more sin, no more difficulties. We are part of Jesus' continuing work here on earth to work out for the spread of the gospel in our world. I sometimes think of this as the kind of now and not yet time. Someone once explained it to me like that, and I really found it helped me. This little picture is maybe a way of doing that. There's a kind of old age where we kind of, people were living without the kind of outpouring of the Spirit. And then there's the new age, Christ's kingdom, where the Spirit is outpoured and Jesus is ascended and seated on high. And in this kind of now and not yet time, the gospel is going to all nations. Christians have amazing power and security, so that even in the face of lions and death, they can be calm and at ease. But sin and suffering are still present, and yet there's a certain hope. And sometimes I think we live as Christians like we're still in this old age with really low expectation of any power, like nothing's changed with Jesus' ascension. And other times we can live like Jesus already come back and thinking, why is there still a struggle with sin or still suffering in our world? And maybe you find yourself sometimes living more in a kind of under-realized way with no kind of passion in prayer, no conviction that God's going to move in power. Or maybe you live on the kind of opposite, the kind of over-realized, and you're like thinking, I don't understand why I'm still struggling. Why my neighbor's not healed yet, or why, you know, I'm still finding this kind of opposition. But the key is to remember we're in this now and not yet time. This time where there is power, but Jesus has not come back yet and sorted it all out yet, as we're going to hear more even next week. So brothers and sisters, we need to be those that are receiving power. Where is Jesus now? He is ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing now? He is pouring out his Spirit, giving us gifts, saving the world through his church, through you and I, by the power of the Spirit. But maybe just lastly, and much more briefly, what is amazing is in that position of power, Jesus is doing something wonderful for you and I. He's not just sending us and giving us what we need. But like we talk about in missions, he's praying for us. He is praying for you and I. You see, this unique power to help us is also comes with a unique position to pray for us. That this wonderful Jesus is in this place where he is not just this conquering king, but the other picture in the New Testament for the ascended Jesus is he's like a great high priest, this one who draws alongside the Father to intercede for our behalf. And that song, Before the Throne of God Above, kind of pictures something of this. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, what makes a great person to pray for you? I don't know if you been in the church for a while, you remember a wonderful prayer warrior in our church for many, many years, a lady called Chris Liege. Did anyone ever have Chris Liege pray for you? See, look around. Some of those folks have been around for a while. She's now in glory. Amazing prayer warrior. It was lovely. I had Chris Liege pray for me many times. I was always encouraged because you felt Chris Liege was close to God. She had a kind of a deep, vibrant prayer life. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, it's wonderful having Chris Liege pray for me. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is praying for us too. And he is at the right hand of the Father. He has a position where he's saying, hey, God, Father, this David, he needs your help. This one, I'm praying for him. I'm interceding for him. Would you lift him up again? Because he's sinking a bit at the moment. Would you? And he's interceding, and he's the one who's saying, have mercy on him for my sake. That's what he's doing. Jesus is interceding for the Father. But you know, the other thing I was thinking about that makes so great person to pray for us is maybe captured in this story. There was so last couple of years, there was a lady who started connecting, very shy, and she never come forward for a prayer time, you know, when people are prayed for. Just didn't feel like that was her thing. Anyway, God was saying to her when people were standing around, go and pray with that person. She's like, I don't know that person. Why that person? And then it just kept coming back, come and pray with that person. She was like, no. And a couple of weeks went on, and finally she decided she would go and ask for prayer for a specific thing. And that person, as they prayed for him, said, it's amazing because that is an area I have helped and work with people with that kind of struggle and challenge. And she was like, this is amazing, God. You took me to someone who understands. Who understands my struggle. She was thrilled. And brothers and sisters, there's something about that with Jesus and his intercession for us. Not only is he right there next to the Father, but what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 is you know, this wonderful thing that he's a great high priest who understands our weaknesses and who is yet being tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. And so we are told to boldly approach then the throne of grace because we have this high priest who's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. Jesus, you see, in Luke 24, what's he doing as he blesses, as he ascends into heaven in Luke 24? Well, it says in Luke 24, verse 51, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Their picture of him as he ascended was that he was praying a blessing over them as he ascended into heaven. And now, even still, Jesus is interceding, praying blessing over you and I. During the weekend, last weekend, I shared a picture that I've tried to keep remembering as I gave out these little milk jugs. And if you weren't there at the weekend, I've got one for you. So you can join in with this as we go on. And it was a little sort of picture of how, you know, God's love pours into our life. Imagine this is God's love. And in this case, it's thinking maybe of blessings. And God blesses us. But what do we see in the Bible? That God blesses us to be a blessing. To then pour into the lives of others. And that's the same, whether it's power he's pouring into us to help and be a witness to others, whether it's love, as we were thinking about, or compassion last week, to pour into the lives of others, or whether, as we end today, blessing that God wants to pour into you and I. He is praying for you. Receive his prayer. Receive his blessing. Our great high priest, so that you might then go and pray and bless for others. That is the call on our lives. That is why the ascension is such good news. Yes, we don't see yet everything kind of sorted in our world, but all across the world, all across the nations, God's kingdom is expanding by the power of his Spirit as our great high priest prays for you and I, his people, to join him in his mission to change lives one at a time in the big things and the small things, to remember, just as we started with, that not just have we died with Jesus and being raised with him, we've ascended with him and are seated at his right hand. And so that gives you and I, whatever you're going through, amazing security, amazing comfort, incomparable power, and a hope, whatever you're facing. But I want to end with that reading in Ephesians 1. Where Paul writes, there is incomparable power, and he wants us to see it. Incomparable power, he says, for us who believe. The creed is a statement of belief. I believe. And as we go through these lines a bit more slowly, we can sometimes forget that they started with, I believe in Jesus Christ. Dun, 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 dun. He ascended into heaven. It's believing that he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father in all power and authority and victory, our great conquering King, our great high priest. And so you and I today, we can come to him. We can look to him. We can, as it were, tilt the mirror of the solar panel to receive power. We can, as it were, have the milk jug open up to him and say, God, would your blessing, your power pour into me afresh so that I can then pour into the life of others. So I want to invite you to believe this morning, to believe that Jesus can help you, and to believe that Jesus cares for what you're going through and what you're seeking to join him in as you reach out to others, that he is the great high priest who understands your struggles. And so as the band maybe come back up, maybe I could invite you to pray with me to receive a fresh touch of his power and to receive his blessing and to express our belief in him. If you're able, you might just want to stand with me. Let's stand together. You may just want to echo these words in your heart. Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again. And I believe you've ascended into heaven. I believe you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe you have all authority and power. Help me see your incomparable power for those who believe. Come and fill me with your Spirit. I want to receive your power to be your witness, to join you in your work. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for your blessing. I receive your blessing that I might be a blessing to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and ask. Amen. Amen. As we sing this song about coming to Jesus, we're going to have the prayer ministry team out and about. And I'd encourage you, maybe you've never asked for prayer before, but come with any request, boldly. And the person who's praying would love to kind of join you or pray over you. You just might want to say, I just would love a blessing, or I'd love a fresh touch of God's Spirit. And if you just want to come and ask for either of those two things, or it could be anything, may God come and just meet with us. So the prayer team are going to be available. If God just puts on your heart, maybe he already has, as we were just being still in the service earlier, and band playing instrumentally, there might be something that God was saying to you, or something that while we continue in worship now, God's saying to you. If so, do come and speak to Olivia or myself. We'll be at the front, and that might be something that we can share. But as we come to Jesus, let's come with confidence, believing that he is able and can help us and is praying for us. Let's worship together.